Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, where we read of the angel visitor sent to Mary, promising the birth of Jesus Christ. This is Luke chapter 1. We will read verses 26 through 38. The title of this section is called The Birth of Jesus Foretold. Luke chapter 1, that's found on page 991. Luke chapter 1, starting then in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. That's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to the conclusion of our series of the women listed in Matthew and Jesus' genealogy. And Mary shines perhaps the brightest of all of the women that we have seen thus far. We have seen a prostitute, we have seen a Moabitess, a Canaanite, we've even seen the wife of another man. But today with Mary, we find Mary the virgin, one who is pure, a pure maiden, humble and obedient. Her life is free from the stain of scandal. She is from the lineage of David. She is from the house of Abraham. But today, in considering the promise of this baby to be born, we see that even the way in which this baby comes is abnormal, to say the least. Throughout the past few months, we have seen that in the arrival of these children, these boys who have come, each one is irregular in their own way, either the manner in which this child was brought forth or the parentage, the heritage in which this child has. We do even have examples in the Old Testament of old barren ladies like Sarah giving birth to children in their old age. But a virgin having a child? This is truly something unheard of. It is spectacular. It is nothing less than marvelous. But today we are going to see that in the announcement of Jesus Christ and his birth, God is impressing upon us again the miraculous, gracious nature of our salvation. As the angel said here in the verse 37, his parting words, "Nothing is impossible for God. For with man, salvation is impossible." It is not going to happen. But with God, all things are possible, including our salvation. A virgin conceiving and giving birth to a son, and not just any son, A son who will be the Son of the Most High, Son of Almighty God. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. The names that we've looked at over the past few weeks have revealed aspects of his character. He will be the Obed servant. He is going to be Perez, the one who through whom light breaks forth. He is going to be the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, who will protect, provide, and give shade. He is going to be the Solomon, the peace bringer. Today he is going to be called named Jesus, the Savior, the one who saves us from our sins. He is Christ the Lord. We start in our first point by considering Mary's blessing. We note that Mary here as being blessed, or how Mary receives the blessings, it's not that she is distributing blessings, but that she is the recipient of rich blessings from God. Yes, she comes from the house and lineage of David. She is going to be, at the time of birth, in the city of Bethlehem. But Mary is not bitter like Naomi was. She is full of God's grace and responds with the magnificent, the joyful praise and adoration. Her heart's overflowing with gratitude and praise. This one, this pure maiden, 12, maybe 14 years old, clings to the promises. She's clinging to the covenant and the hope of redemption that is to come. Living in Nazareth, as our text opens, along with Joseph at this time, Mary has an unexpected visitor, and we're asking ourselves the question, can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, come and see. An angel comes to her in verse 28, the same angel that had visited her cousin a few months earlier. Gabriel appears to Mary, and Mary is filled with fear. What kind of visitor, what kind of greeting is this? Remember, Mary is not a super pious, free from all cares and concerns kind of girl. She was a normal young maiden. She did not expect to receive a visitor from God. But the words that the angel says to her are filled with grace and good news. Greetings, the angel says, you who are highly favored. Hail, thou Mary, you who are honored and blessed. You are the rich recipient of God's grace. She is the blessed one because the Lord was with her. God was present in her life. Her prayers and praise had been heard and answered. She was truly exalted and given a privileged position above every other woman. Not because of her piety, but because of God's gift and grace. Hers is a privileged position. She has, as verse 30 says, found favor with God. Literally, God's blessings are dwelling within you. Because you will give birth to a son. You will give birth to a male child. And it's wonderful as giving birth to a child might be for any one of us, particularly during this time, giving birth to a male child to carry on the name, to provide and protect. But this child is unique and like none other. Our passage says in verse 31, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. As our children remember, the name Jesus means saving us from our sins. He will be great, the angel says. He will be powerful, significant, important. He will be Son of the Most High God, being called Son of God Almighty. And he will sit on his father David's throne. He is going to be the everlasting king. Thinking back to last week, 2 Samuel 7, where the Lord had promised to David, I will raise up a son after you of your own lineage, your heritage. He's going to sit on the throne and reign and rule forever. And he's going to build my house. He's not going to build it with brick and mortar. He's going to build the house of the Lord, the temple, which is his own body, which is going to be the place where God and men might dwell together in peace. Mary, you're going to give birth to a son, the most important child to ever be born. Now, Mary, like every other young maiden, would have had dreams, would have had desires, would have had plans for her life. She planned to get married to Joseph, probably dreamed of having a family of her own, a specific timing and way, and living in a specific place. But God comes to her and changes the direction of her entire life. You are going to give birth to someone whose beginnings are of old, who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, one who will bring deliverance. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. The people who are in bondage to sin, death, and hell will have those chains broken. Those who are serving at the whim of the cruel taskmaster, Satan, will have that oppression broken, that yoke on their shoulders smashed to pieces. He is the one who will bring redemption, shade, protection, being the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, servant to the Most High God, dearly beloved. So let us learn the lesson of God's grace. God sends a Savior who saves, ransoms, delivers, redeems his people. God saves the least of these. These women will be great in the kingdom of God. God saves us. It's a gift. It's not dependent on us. In fact, he saves us in spite of all our works. God's great grace. Following this revelation, Mary asked the question in verse 34, how can this be? This is not a question of unbelief. It's a question of how in the world could this possibly happen? What is the manner in which this will take place? As I said before, this is not a question that springs out of unbelief. It is a question from a humble heart. She accepts it as true and says, in what process will this be brought to be? The angel says to her, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, Mary, and produce from your flesh and blood, in your very womb, this child of whom all these promises are pointing forward to. And her final response in verse 38 is, let it be as you have said, I am the Lord's servant. She humbles herself. She accepts these words as true. She responds with faith. She clings to the promise. And she throws herself upon the mercy of God. News like this, a messenger like this, although a young maiden, perhaps some of you here this day are in your early teens, she shows a lion-hearted dependence on God. God has given her a spirit of rock-solid faith. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is preparing her for that which is to come. As Jesus would say, do not doubt, only believe. But as wonderful as it would be for Mary to give birth to a child like this, a child like none other, a child who would be the center point of all humanity, the pivoting point in history itself, Mary was also going to have her share of trials, her share of woes. In fact, her trials start almost immediately after the angel leaves. Being a young girl who was pledged to be married to Joseph, she has this question in verse 27, how can this be? She comes from a humble, lowly family, and she's left struggling with how these things will be brought to fulfillment. She is young. She's unmarried. She's engaged. And now she has to speak to Joseph about what has just taken place. As we read earlier from Luke, by God's grace, God sends an angel to Joseph to calm Joseph's worries and fears as well. Because the scandal of a child born out of wedlock would have been a hard burden for her to carry. Nothing like this has happened before. It had never happened in the history of humanity, nor would it ever happen again. A virgin conceiving, and how can this be? Her dreams of a quiet life with Joseph are significantly altered. Mary is put in the center stage, and her life is intertwined with the Savior of the world. And as soon as Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem and give birth to this child, we find this later on in Luke chapter 2. She is pondering these things. She treasures them in her heart. She has to flee and run from Herod and his soldiers, Herod's troops, who seek to take the life of the baby boy and take the child's life. It would be Mary to whom Simeon would speak later on in Luke chapter 2. Mary, a sword will pierce your soul. Throughout Mary's life, she's left questioning and wondering. She's pondering in her heart. What do these things mean? How do we move on from this? How do we understand the ministry, the person and work of Jesus Christ? We sometimes forget how difficult it must have been for Mary. Mary takes her little boy with her to the temple. And then her and Joseph go home. And Jesus stays at the temple. I mean, can you imagine the worry and fret of losing your young child? And then finding Jesus a few days later at the temple, Jesus gives no apology. Didn't you know that I should be, that I needed to be in my Father's house? Later on in Matthew chapter 12, Mary is standing outside the door trying to go and see her firstborn son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says concerning Mary, "Who is my mother?" Well, Mary knew who his mother was. "I am your mother. I've given birth to you, son." "Who is my mother?" Jesus says. "But the one who listens to the will and obeys the will of my Father in heaven." The pain she suffered as she followed her son even to the cross, standing at the place of the skull, weeping as the fruit of her womb was nailed to the tree. But Jesus, in his kindness, says to John, "John, behold your mother." Mary had to be willing to be crucified, had to be willing to put to death all her desires and her longings, her aspirations, her plan for her life. Had to be set aside in order to be faithful to the calling that the Lord had placed upon her. Her life would be filled with troubled pondering and questions. But yet Mary responded with faith. She wouldn't always understand, but she always believed. And she responded with faith. As we come back to Luke chapter 1, we note her faith-filled response. In spite of all of her questions and concerns, she answers this wonderful message and promise of the angel with this magnificent phrase, this song found in verse 46 and following. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of my humble state. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary responded to what the angel said, nothing is impossible for God, with a hymn of praise and adoration. If we have learned anything over the past few months or past few weeks in this last series, we have seen that God is able to bring about a mighty deliverance in the most difficult and oppressive situations. Nothing can hinder God from his work. None can resist his hand. Sin and death and rebellion are no match for the power of the Almighty God. You see, it is through the birth of Jesus Christ, through the miraculous birth of the promised child, it is in this birth that what was once impossible becomes possible. Things which are outside of the sphere of human ability. The deaf hear. The lame leap for joy. The gospel is proclaimed to the poor. The dead are raised. Good news proclaimed. A man dead in his sin finds life, righteousness, and life. God can cause a virgin to give birth. Remember I said with almost every woman given to us in Matthew, their sin is affixed to their name. Right? The Moabitess, the prostitute, another man's wife. Mary, the virgin, not her sin, but a highlight of the magnificent, mysterious workings of God. God can save those who are born in sin. Salvation is not only now possible, it has been achieved by this blessed Son of Mary. So as we sing songs like Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, let us remember today and always that we are celebrating a gracious salvation, a work of God that delivers man who is born in sin and depravity and bondage. That grace breaks into this world. Salvation, redemption, covering, protection, providing of life, a heritage, an inheritance is what we receive because Christ the Savior has been born. Truly, those walking in darkness have seen a great light because salvation has been gained by this blessed child. So let us learn the lesson of the genealogies. Salvation is of grace. You and I are born in sin, like our forefathers, Rahab and Ruth and Naomi and David and Solomon. Born in sin, unable to save. But then we come to the child of Mary, Jesus Christ, born of the virgin, who saves us completely from all our sins. Praise God for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that salvation is impossible for men. That as we looked at the genealogies, that there is no human explanation for the birth of these children, for your promises. Yet you have and continue to work a wonderful salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that the Son of David, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords has come, and now he saves us. Fill us, O Lord, with gratitude and thanksgiving for this rich, gracious salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.